He's hanging out with the girls.
He's becoming, what is that word? Metrosexual? Or what's
muppy,
that?
It's called muppies or something like that.
No, no, no. What's that? What's that word like for people like Ryan Seacrest?
Oh, yeah. But not that. There's a new thing about the way that people who work downtown, they call it dumpies or something.
I don't know. But whatever it is, he's becoming it.
The leading edge.
He's the fashion maven. Let's
Avatar.
Go back.
He's Avatar.
Avatar. Kevin, the Avatar.
He takes all the silent.
Let's go back to where we were in Haggai, so we can spend 5 minutes for everybody to find Haggai again.
Page 972.
All right.
It's so easy to miss because it's only like 2 pages. These are many few words.
We stopped at verse 9 of chapter 1. You looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts, because of mine house that is waste, and you run every man unto his own house. Now, how does that apply to us? We don't have to run very far to run to our own house, do we? It's just a change in attitude. It goes from the cross to the I motive, and it happens that quickly. There's nothing for us to do to build the house because we are the living stones in that particular parable. We don't have to do anything. We just return. We just repent. It has to happen on a second by second basis. Then the rest of it is in our business. It's like we always want to try to help. But the issue with regard to Haggai, and what's, remember, this is over the sloth that of Israel because they didn't pay any attention to the exhortations of Jeremiah or of Haggai. And they never really had to. I mean, they didn't have to do anything ever. They just had to return to their first love. But so how quickly do we leave our first love and return to building our own house? Now, what does it mean to build your own house instead of him? It's simply the I motive. Anytime the I motive returns to your life, then you must, by definition, then lean on your own armor of understanding. You have to try to figure it out. You have to try to do something about it. You have to then work it. And the minute you do, then the reward, to him that worketh, the reward is not reckoned of grace, but of debt. And so instantly you come back into debt. And the debt becomes massive.
This isn't about our church building program?
No, this is not about your church building program.
So the ones who came back, who answered the call and came back, were really no different than the ones who didn't answer the call.
Right.
Everybody was still self-seeking.
Right.
It didn't really matter whether you were...
No, because this is the parable, and it was two different aspects of the parable. The one had more righteousness, at least for a while, because they at least returned. But it was only those... who, if you look at whatever historical data there is at this time about the people that came back from Babylon to build the temple, it was the losers, the ones who had failed, the ones who had succeeded in Babylon. They were a prominent aspect of the community. They still retained their Jewishness. They still retained their language, and they still had synagogues, and they even wrote the Babylonian Talmud, which is much more accurate than the Jerusalem Talmud because they had better scholars. But the scholars stayed in Babylon. And then these losers that came back to Jerusalem, they wrote the Jerusalem Talmud, and it's kind of goofy. You understand what I'm saying? It's not about place. It's about location of sphere. It's about repentance or not repentance.
Yeah, just because I say I'm a Christian and I'm an elder in my church and I give 20% of my income and blah, blah, doesn't mean it won't.
No, because the only thing that counts with God is turning from self. Because
what do you mean when you say location of sphere? Could you expand on that a little bit?
How can you be on the mercy seat and in the world at the same time? How can you be under the wings of the cherubim and on? Well, it's location sphere. It's where you're. It's a term in the Greek, which it's really important. And we don't have, as far as I know, we don't have any kind of verb tenses and language issues like that in English. But it is, as long as you recognize where your home is.
It's like where your center.
Well. It's more than that. It's the center, but it's the base. Remember where he said it, to the merciful, I'll show myself merciful. To the froward, I will show myself froward. To the proud, I'll show myself proud. That's how you will see him. And so, the reason this is so important is because everything that was necessary for the kingdom of God to be completed was taken care of by Christ in the Passover and in Pentecost. Now remember that really the Passover and Pentecost are really the same. Remember, we've studied that. They're the same feast, but they're connected by the counting of the Omer. And the counting of you come out of the 49 gates. And all of the 49 gates that you come out of, we've studied this so often, but they are the things that you think is good. And so location of sphere is that through the finished work of Christ, heaven came down to meet us. And that is our location of sphere. It is always here. It is always true. We are always in the New Jerusalem. It is always finished. It is always perfect. You've been perfected by one offering. But the great enemy always says, no. I need this. I need that. I want this. I want that. I judge that. I judge that down. I like it's what I like and I don't like. Those all things are that take you out of that location of sphere, the sphere of influence. And so you leave the mystery in a split second. And that's why what we call sanctification is only to try to find out if there's anything that will cause you to leave the mercy seat. What will get your attention? Whatever gets your attention gets you. If you're trying to, trying to repent is just crazy. Or trying to pick up the cross, or trying to die to self, those are all issues. They make it impossible. If you're trying to do it, it's impossible. Or trying to understand, that's the other goodie.
Yeah, the only person that could talk about it tried to repent was talking about Esau.
Esau, repented with tears.
Yeah, all the other times people just either repented or not.
Right. And that's why the issue of what you take thought of is defines this. I mean, Christ wasn't kidding when he said, take no thought for your life. Take no thought for your food. Take no thought for what you're going to wear. Take no thought. Be careful for nothing. Abandon yourself. Why? That doesn't make any sense. It makes much more sense from my perspective and from any man's perspective. That, well, now I want to come to the Lord and now God is going to help me. And he and I are going to be partners and we're going to do this thing together. Well, all that does is create this massive, massive deception and hypocrisy. You have to start acting like you're something instead of being. And that never works. And so then you get more and more internally anxious and upset, and you know nothing. But you always have a smiley face and tell everybody you love them. And all right, praise the Lord. Everybody praise the Lord. Now raise your hands and we'll praise the Lord. And oh God, we're just giving you all the glory. It's all about some working it instead of being it. And everything from Genesis on is about this. And the minute you screw up, which you're guaranteed you will, the sin offering lieth at the door. So there's never an issue where you have to give it more than a nanosecond of thought to, Father, forgive me, and leave yourself behind. You cannot be improved. You cannot understand. You cannot get it. You cannot repent. All you can do is see the emptiness of your and all other people's effort. And trust and faith in Him. Believe on Him who He has sent. It's so simple. It's the simplest thing in the universe. Oh no, it's got to be good. We've got to memorize the Scriptures and hide the Word of God in your heart. That's a good one. I love that. We're going to memorize Scriptures, so we memorize a Scripture a day. Well, it's just going to make you a better hypocrite. And you will automatically, as some of you know real well, very well, you will automatically separate spiritual life from secular life. And you'll automatically separate your entire life into different compartments. Am I communicating?
Yeah. The way I see what you're saying is, you know, you get a new job, and the job, you have to move to Philadelphia, and when you get to Philadelphia, you look around and you see how people talk and dress and act in Philadelphia, and you start talking and acting and dressing and doing what you're supposed to do to be a member of the new club that you've just joined, and it's you know, it's certainly been my experience. First thing I did was look around and see, you know, what kind of shirts do we wear in this club?
Again, hear these words now. In verse 9, you looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And you, when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house there is waste, and you run every man unto his own house. And you run really fast. You go faster than the speed of light because it's the speed of thought. You leave the mystery in no time. Now, you've heard me say for years that to me, in my understanding of all of the Scriptures, if whoever is in, you know, the rabbi, the priest, or the teacher, that person is supposed to try to put tricks on you. And if he can no longer put a trip on you, then nobody can and nothing can. Because that's the nature of the way it works. Now, everybody wants to have this mystery of God and think that the whoever's teaching it is something. No, he's nothing. He's less than nothing, or she is less than nothing. What they are is simply, that's what Jesus said about it. They are the ministry of Elijah, to push you to the edge, to bang up all your carefully crafted idolatry into
mock
you.
Without that, there's absolutely no seeing, because you would just be filtered through and attached to your idolatry.
Right, and nobody ever worshipped an idol. You think it's the right thing. Nobody ever worshipped or gave breath to a false god. They think it's the right god. Your job and my job is to show them that's not the right God. Bring forth fruit necessary for repentance. That's the whole mystery of the Bible. You know, and even if somebody is mocking you, you still hold on to it for 23 years. Somewhere somebody's like that, I'm sure. All right, let's go. Let's read the rest of Haggai on your own. Let's go up to chapter 2, verse verse 6.
Which book?
Haggai. The one you're supposed to be in.
I thought you were going back to Eco. I'm not guaranteeing you.
Okay. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once, it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, the silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of the latter house, it doesn't say this, it should say, the glory of the latter house shall be greater than that of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. You're not talking about building another building like the apostate Herod did. Herod's temple, he spent 46 years building it, and it was done at the time of Christ. But it was still another apostate temple because it had nothing in behind the veil. And so that's why at the death of Christ, the veil was torn, and everybody could look and see the sham. There is no Ark of the Covenant. There's no Shekinah glory. There's no cherubim. All of the stuff that everybody assumed was behind the veil, it was empty. And all the high priests that had gone in once a year throughout all that time, they were participants in the sham. And it's just like it is now.
And there wasn't this unbelievable uprising when people found out they'd been duped?
No, because the system had become so polluted that the minds of the people accepted it. It's like when one of these idiots says, on December 3rd, 1988, the end of the world is coming. And it happens. And they said, and they still do the same thing. And they still have followers. I mean, false prophecies of all these idiots made, and yet these people still follow them.
I haven't heard that. Everybody assumed that the Ark of the Covenant was back inside the...
They assumed that it was there. All of them did.
That's news.
No, it's not.
That's amazing.
You shall no more hear... Do you remember what it says in Jeremiah? You shall no more say even the Ark of the Covenant, neither shall it come to mind.
And kind of like even when he said, even though one come back from the dead, they wouldn't believe.
Right, it's like the same thing.
Open the curtain on the stage, turn the lights on, there's nothing there.
That was part of the glory of God, the mystery of God. If that couldn't cause you to repent, then what can? What is going to still make you have this silly little earthly religion? Trying to get something from God.
Yeah, this is all about your foundations for your personal faith. And those are yanked out from under you.
Well, yeah, like, you know what? I'm sitting here and you say that and I just realized, why am I so amazed? The light's been turned on in me, the curtain's been pulled open, the sham has been revealed, and I still... Yeah, okay, I understand. That's what we do.
Might be the most important thing you've ever said.
Surely this must be okay.
I've said it for 30 years.
Yeah, but it's news to John.
Sometimes you don't always hear it.
No, just that particular aspect of it.
It was news to me too, John.
Don't try to find allies. It won't work.
I'm looking for a new foundation.
All you'll do is get John in trouble.
I'm trying. You're going to get John with allies. He's your favorite.
He's the prize pony.
No, my only favorite in this whole group is Angela Buckner, or Angela Kelcher now. She can get by with anything.
You know who I'm talking about.
You know who I'm talking about. What's her name?
That person is my favorite.
I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of the house. Love the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. And the glory of the latter house shall be greater than that of the former. That's the whole sermon of Melito of Sardi back when he, 1900 and some years ago. And this is what all the Bible is about. They all told him it was a pattern that Moses showed, a pattern, an allegory. Maybe it's an allegory, but it really isn't an allegory because it's like we really got to go over there to that silly little piece of land and call it, we call it the Holy Land. It's no more holy than
Peoria.
No, it's no more holy than, you know, the worst whorehouse in the world. And then we got these, you know, these Gwen Shamlin, and, I mean, I can't remember their names, but people that go, they march around the land and they declaim it. I mean, because of this, or the Dominionists. We're going to take back everything. We're going to get the movies and we're going to get the show. I mean, it's so, it's all trying to set the kingdom of God up on earth instead of in earth. And same thing that you're trying to do.
We used to do that at Crossroads Nations. They'd get the whole school out walking around blocks, you know, claiming property and stuff.
Why would you volunteer that?
Well, I knew it.
That's an example of what he's talking about.
I'm an arsonist.
I know. But why would you do that?
Hit me.
No, I already knew that. I did. Are they going to go down and save New Orleans?
Yeah.
Damn fine job. I told them all to stay home.
Did a lot of good work.
The last time they ended up not liking me very much there.
That's true.
Anyway, please, you got to see that it's don't go build your own little houses or your own little careers, your own little ideas. It's just goofy.
Those are, they're located in the future.
What?
Those ideas that we built.
Well, you've tried. So therefore, what you've done is you've gone where God isn't. Remember in Ezekiel where it talks about you've tried to take God where he isn't. He's not in the future. He's not in the past. He's only in the eternal now.
And when will that get here?
What?
I say, when will that get here?
When you see the finished work of Christ. There's never again.
Shoot me.
No, he walks around with a target on.
I'm pushing you to the end. That's my job.
Anybody have any response to any of this? This new thing? You haven't heard me talk, either one of you, about when they open the veil.
No, I think you have said that before, and it was news to me then. I was thinking about it now, that, I had never read that. I thought there was just like an ongoing, everybody understood there wasn't anything there, but they tried to act like there was or something.
That's what you said.
Except, I'd said the high priests were the ones that were acting, because they're the ones that went in once a year. That's the only time anybody was allowed in to find out.
Yeah, it's kind of
sort of like
to think that, okay, now it's time for the thing. You go in there and make believe that you're doing this stuff, and then come out and make believe you did it. It's unbelievable.
Well, it's no more unbelievable than your whole construct of all your little. It's just all
made. Yeah, we go in and there's nothing there, but we can't.
Well, our ability to delude ourselves is limitless. I mean, you can convince yourself that it's there, that it's valid.
You can convince yourself that you have to concern yourself with your self-esteem. That's the one that just drives me crazy.
It's just the truth. Ask anybody.
Well, I really haven't ever heard this. Maybe you've said it before, but I've never heard that it was empty. And
you never heard that it was empty?
No, you remember every year, I granted, I mean, you may have not heard it, but every year since the even before we celebrated Passover, I talk about the veil being torn and the sham being revealed.
Yeah, that part has just escaped me for some reason.
That's fine.
I'm
glad it is because everybody now, you know, when especially in the circles that you were in, the Shekinah glory. Can you see it? Oh yeah, I see it. Now it used to be the Shekinah glory when I was running around with. And now it's the anointing. Oh, there's a perceptible anointing on this. You dumb.
Never everybody wants that to be true so bad that they will participate.
Well,
see
they
the
just
Lord walking and
it's
in
just
service.
This,
he has his
it's just soul power. It's just you work it up. Anybody can. It's just goofy. It's so simplistic that it's not even simple. I mean, you have to make it up. You have to convince yourself, and then you have to cause other people to see an illusion. And that's not that difficult, but it's all to what it. The bottom line of it all is, you know, are you recording this newest
travesty? Yes.
So we have last night.
Oh, the Siddiqui, Ronnie's favorite, Nasir Siddiqui.
No. This is was Jesse Duplantis.
Oh, he was the daytime guy.
Jesse Duplantis yesterday said, "God told me to give $100,000," and you know, of course, the person he gave it to was supposedly Kenneth Copeland. I really didn't have $100,000, but God told me, and I obeyed. I gave Kenneth $100,000. And just a few years later, I got back $10 million. That proves it. I mean, and people are believing that horseshit.
Digging in their pockets.
And all of the phones lit up and everybody started giving. I mean, they've got this little incestuous group. They give each other stuff. It's spiritual incest.
They have too much money for one.
Yeah.
It's $10 million.
Oh, we've got a deal where we've got a recorded conference call with this con man and
keep this under your hat. Don't tell him.
No, I don't care. With a con man and with Copeland's attorney who's speaking for Copeland. And he's telling them how they're going to get $500 million. By this, it's just a scam. I mean, anybody that had any kind of intelligence would. But I mean, they're really serious about it. It's a long, thick conference call about, we're going to get the Lord. The Lord's going to give us all this money so that we can do His work, because we got to do His work because we're important. But it's all, whether you're talking about that kind of crap or the so-called anointing, it's all a way to make you feel self-important. And it's part of this huge deception. Oh, Jesus and I were talking, and he told me. No, he didn't. You're a blithering idiot. You're being deceived by your own mind. Anyway, don't get me started.
I'll tell you what's disgusting about these people. They need all this money to do the Lord's work, but they want a 15% commission to do it.
Well, they want more than 15% commission. They want 100%. Anyway, take it big guy. I'm tired of talking.
Go ahead and say it.
It's the first time I ever said it.
That's right.
About time.